You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic.
Do you enjoy the Stable Management Podcast? Want to learn even more about horse healthcare? Get your management and industry questions answered at Ask the Horse Live, a free audio event available exclusively from thehorse.com. Each Ask the Horse Live episode focuses on a specific equine healthcare topic chosen by our editors. We gather leading veterinarians, researchers, and industry experts to tackle your toughest questions. You can also hear on-demand episodes of Ask the Horse on thehorse.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm your host, Haley Peffer, and my guest today is Dr. Laura Patterson. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me here, Haley. It's a pleasure.
I think our topic for today is very important, especially where I am. We're already starting to feel this winter weather, and I think a lot of people might want to close the barn up and lock their horses inside to stay warm. So let's talk a little bit about air quality and why does air quality typically decline in horse barns during the winter? And what are the biggest misconceptions that you hear people having about closing up their barn for warmth?
Yeah, absolutely. It is an interesting issue because when I was in Brazil, and I'm originally from Brazil, we did not have that problem in my home state, right? Because we don't have harsh winters. We actually don't have any snow at all where I'm from. So when I got here, I had a kind of learn my way through these issues that are mainly caused because we want to make sure that our horses are warm and cozy, but we forget about the aspects that we accidentally sometimes cause when we close up a barn, right? So basically, when you close up that barn, you're reducing the fresh air exchange in the sources of moisture, dust, gases, for example. So the horses, the bedding, the hay, they will continue to produce contaminants on that sense. So the contaminant concentration is actually going up and there's no way to escape. So one analogy that I like to make to horse owners is to think about a sealed barn like a pot with a lid on top. So the steam will keep building up within that pot, and the smell, the grime will also keep building up within that pot, right? Mechanically, why that happens. So we have colder air outside that reduces the ventilation inside as well. So the warm air inside is not rising and escaping as it should, right? You also have horses that are basically gigantic machines of making heat and moisture and particle sources. And then we also have hay, bedding, everything that releases dust and mold spores is stored inside that barn, right? So following on that line, we have some common misconceptions. So one of the ideas that I see horse owners mention here, it if it's cold, close everything, right? The horses can tolerate cold air if it is moving through the barn and if it is dry. The main problem here, if the air is stale, humid, and rich in ammonia, that will cause trouble to our animals. If there is no draft, there's no respiratory problems. That's also not true, right? So drafts at a horse head level are only a problem if those are cold and direct. If you have a gentle whole barn turnover, that actually helps reduce the pollutant buildup. And if the owner says, I cannot smell the ammonia, thus I don't have a problem. If you cannot smell the ammonia, those are usually at low levels, but you have to remember that horses have issues with lower concentrations than what we can normally observe, you know, or normally sense when we walk in a barn. And also, they maintain their nostrils closer to the ground than we do. So it may not be that the ammonia is reaching the upper levels of air within the barn, but it is at the lower level still. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a lot of people, I've heard that before where, you know, they might not smell the ammonia, so they think it's not a problem, but I think that's such a good reminder.
Yes, absolutely. So when we're monitoring these things, we need to keep that in mind, that the level where the horses are standing and most of the times they're inhaling, they will have their level of their heads will be down low onto the ground or close to the ground. So if we need to check for those ammonia levels, for example, I would recommend for the owners putting their heads down close to where their horses eat and seeing if they can sense something.
That's such a good idea. I like that a lot. Put yourself in your horse's shoes a little bit.
Yes, absolutely.
From a management standpoint, what are the most important pollutants to monitor, especially during the winter? I know you mentioned ammonia, but are there any others that we should be careful for?
Yes, definitely. There are a bunch of culprits within that realm, right? So I'm just going to mention some of the top ones that we need to worry about. Like I've said, ammonia, one of the biggest ones. So even some moderate levels of ammonia can actually irritate the respiratory tract of horses. And that irritation can lead to overproducing of mucus, reduce the clearance of the airways for that horse, and even weaken the immune system in general. So poorly ventilated barns with poor salt management, for example, I've seen ammonia levels build up to really harmful thresholds. But also we can have dust. So for example, particulate matters and smaller particulate matter sizes, they can go very deep into the lungs and cause massive issues for the horses. They can overwhelm the lung clearing, natural clearing mechanisms, and contribute to local inflammation on the lungs as well. And if you already have horses that have, for example, equine asthma, either the severe or the mild versions of it, the mild forms, that dust accumulation can make your horse feel worse. You have to remember as well that hay and even straw sometimes can harbor mold and bacteria as well in the manure, in the bedding, and those can also release endotoxins that attach even to the dust particles as itself and get into our horse's respiratory systems, right? And we have also some other microorganisms, so fragments of mites, of insects, they can also get airborne, and they can stimulate immune reactions as well in the respiratory system, right? And last but not least, we have to remember that there is, besides ammonia, we have some other gases that can be irritant to horses as well. So nitrogen oxide, sulfur dioxide, carbon monoxide, ozone, etc. They are typically lower risk when we have barns that have a good ventilation system. But in a closed up barn during winter time, or if you have poor ventilation of that barn, they can become a problem. They can become more relevant in the clinical aspect.
Definitely. Yeah, I think the dust from hay and straw is something that I personally notice a lot. Even sometimes people who like blow their aisles out, that really kicks up a lot of dust.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So that dust can be easily absorbed or inhaled by the horses, right? And you have to remember, even if you're there for a little bit, that dust can cause you to sneeze and it will trigger a respiratory inflammation in some people that are constantly working at barns. So imagine the horses that live there for most of their days. That can get quite severe.
So we talked a little bit about how people close up their barns during the winter because they're worried about keeping heat in. How can barn managers balance the need for adequate ventilation with these concerns about the horses or themselves really being too cold?
That is such a good question. I like to make this analogy to my horse owners. So you need to think of the ventilation as dosing, like medicine, right? You need enough to treat the problem, but without overdosing that medicine. So you don't want to lose too much heat in that barn, but you still need some ventilation, right? So if we have to consider a practical approach for that, so I would say that aim for a minimal continuous exchange for moisture control, basically. You can get a measure to check how much moisture you have in the air of that barn specifically. You can use also some controlled low speed continuous ventilation systems rather than opening the doors and windows all the time or intermittently. And if you have that continuous airflow, even if it's a small airflow, that will prevent some of the spikes of the pollutant concentrations and will also use less energy than heating a fully ventilated building, for example. And then target what we call the breathing zone, right? So we want to avoid direct cold drafts across the horse's neck and chest area. So you can place some inlets higher onto the barn and use some deflectors to mix that fresh air before reaching the horse's head, for example. And again, keep in mind to check the barn as much as possible, and that I would definitely defer to the contractors and builders because they are better at it than my veterinarian aspect. So checking for big air leaks within the barn, making sure that the insulation is working appropriately, reducing the heat loss while ventilating, all of that, right? So basically just making sure that your crew is working well with you as well.
So you alluded to potential problems in the design of the barn just a little bit. I know some of us, especially in my area, have older barns that might not be well designed for ventilation. So what are some simple lower cost solutions for these barns where the air exchange just isn't naturally great, but we want to improve the ventilation?
Oh, definitely. You can add some low cost possibilities there. So you can open or unblock whatever ridge vents you may have in that barn, for example. So there is a published rule of thumb for that, and they say that it's at least like 1 inch of ridge opening per 10 feet of barn width, or about 1 foot of ridge per stall in some different guidelines. So keeping that in mind, close to the eaves, you can add low inlet vents as well, so the cold air can come in high and rise, not at the horse head level. So cold air can go up instead of down. You can use some low speed continuous exhaust fans as well, and add to that a thermostat or a humid stat to control as well for the humidity and the temperature inside the barn. So turn it on and off automatically, basically. And move the hay out of the loft actually as well can help. So by removing the hay out of the loft, you're reducing the dust source and keeping that away from the horses' heads and coming down onto the ground and to the lower levels. And of course, the most important one, managing the bedding for the stalls, right? If you're keeping that stall locked up for most part of the day, you have to remember that mucking frequency will have to be higher to maintain that bedding with lower dust and avoid the accumulation of ammonia as well. So lower volumes of those particulate matters and those gases within the barn.
So how much natural ventilation is actually needed in the barn during winter? I know you mentioned that maybe you don't need to go necessarily overboard opening everything up, but what is adequate to keep everybody healthy?
Wow. Yeah. So there's a lot of debate regarding that. There's different guidelines. Many of them are on a consensus of between 4 to 8 air changes per hour. Basically, let's say that 6 air changes is a complete air replacement for that barn every 10 minutes, right? And then you can think on that as well of like on the cold weather, I think they say that the focus is mainly to control the moisture and have a minimum continuous flow of air rather than the high levels of air change, right? There's some other guidelines that base that on the size of the horses within that barn, which honestly, I think it's a better approach personally, because if you're raising minis, you may have a different problem than if you're raising draft horses or if you're maintaining draft horses, right? So it's about per 1,000 pounds of horse, you want to keep it at a 25 CFM ventilation for that. And you can check as well for the airflow adequacy. So you can do condensation tests, you can do a humidity monitoring. I would say that if you have a relative humidity, ideally in a barn is between 50 to 70%. Too dry can be kind of uncomfortable for the horses, but too high, it will encourage the growth of mold, which can also lead to respiratory issues. And then check for ammonia as well. There are commercial sensors that you can buy or handheld meters, and you can check for the ammonia levels within a barn with using a more precise quantification with those sensors. So, yeah.
That's really interesting. I've never actually heard about those, but I will have to check it out for sure.
Yeah, it's basically using technology to your advantage, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So can you tell us what some of the early warning signs people might see in their horses that would mean that the air quality is too poor, even before like the more serious symptoms like coughing would appear?
Oh, gosh, I think coughing is actually one of the early signs.
Okay.
So you would say intermittent coughing, actually. It's one of the early signs that I would tell owners, especially when you come into the barn or after feeding. Sometimes I would say even the occasional coughs, depending on the air quality, can be significant, right? So I've been at barns that during wintertime were completely locked in and they have very poor airflow. And I could see even the population of horses that during other seasons don't usually cough, starting to cough. And that is a warning sign, in my experience. But also if you have, for example, reduced an appetite, so the horse is not keen on eating as much, or if the horses are kind of slower to recover after workout sessions, those can be early signs of airway inflammation, right? So keep those in mind as well. If you have intermittent nasal discharge, even if it's clear nasal discharge, so keep track of those. What I recommend owners is to have a little notebook in the barn where they keep notes of the signs that they've been observing on their horses, because, you know, how life can be complicated and we're full of things to do. And sometimes we just forget things, right? So keeping track of those in a recorded notebook, it's usually a good way of making sure that you're seeing consistent signs that may require calling your vet to come out and check. And horses are also sometimes trying to group up near the doors or airway away from or away from certain stalls, you know. So if you see the horses trying to keep their heads outside of the stall for most of the time, that could be another sign that you have a lot of irritants within that stall. So keep that in mind. And again, if you have barn workers too, if they are developing sore throats, If your barn workers are coughing, if they have eye irritations, that can also signal that you may be having some sort of ventilation issues in your barn or pollutant issues in your barn as well.
So if you notice these clinical signs in your horses, such as coughing, and you fix the air quality issue, will you tend to see those go away? Or is it that once they start, they're kind of there to stay?
No, sometimes they can go away. It depends on what is causing that issue, right? So if it is associated with the air quality, yes, you can resolve some of those coughing problems, some clinical signs that we observe in horses by just simply doing some management changes and fixing some of the environmental causes for that condition. If it is anything a little bit more complex or more complicated that may require a veterinary visit and may need some medication to help your horse clear up that problem, then definitely reach out to your veterinarian, right? But you have to remember that some of those aspects that we've been talking about, for example, in wintertime, it's more common for us vets to see issues related to respiratory irritants in horses that are kept inside locked stalls or locked barns. Because of ammonia levels, because of dust, because of pollutants within that barn as well. So it may require a veterinary visit, but just by making sure that you have the right tools to clear that condition up is ideal.
Awesome. So that brings me to my last question for you, which is if you could give barn owners one winter ventilation checklist, what would be the top items they should inspect or do weekly to keep the air quality healthy for themselves and the horses?
This is such a great question. I actually think I may design a checklist for horse owners after that question and just hand out for my horse owners around here, because it's such a good point, right? So if there's nothing else that you can do as a horse owner, what I would suggest doing weekly, and you can do it in one pass or you can do it in multiple days, but do a quick smell and sight walk. So try to detect ammonia, moldy, musty odors. If there's visible condensation in the stall, so do a like a pass fail character for that, right? Check the openings, clear anything that may be blocked outside of your barn as well, on the ridges, on the openings. So bird nests or accumulation of debris, or if you have any of the insulation is breaking down and blocking some airflow entrance, check that as well. Do a hygrometer check. So record the humidity. So if it's over 70% regularly, make sure that you have an increased ventilation for that barn and reduce the moisture sources if it's possible as well. And do a ammonia sniff. So basically check at the ground level, at least in two stalls, especially if you have individual horses that are frequent urinators. So, or senior horses that may be affected by pituitary parenchyma dysfunction, so PPID, or what horse owners like to call as well, Cushing's disease, equine Cushing's disease, right? You can check their bedding, see if you can sense or smell any ammonia levels, but you can also use a sensor for that, like we talked about. And then make sure that you don't have a lot of dust being generated within that barn. So if you don't have any visible plumes of dust being generated when people are mucking or feeding, if you do have that, you can soak the hay or steam that hay a little bit to reduce the amount of dust and particulate debris. And then do a general horse check, right? So check if the horses are having any coughing, nasal discharge, if they have reduced appetite, performance issues, etc. And then if the fans or vents are functioning properly, You can inspect for ice buildup as well, blockages, because those may cause some ventilation blockages. If you have to check a few things each winter or once a week, make that these your main things to check, okay? So basically, listen for the coughs, use a hygrometer, do an ammonia check at the ground level, okay? So about 6 to 12 inches above the bedding is already, if you can smell it at that level, I would say it's already a ammonia level that is too high. All right.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That's a great checklist, and I'm definitely going to have to implement it myself.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today, but it's been great talking with you today. I know this is going to be super useful for our barn managers headed into winter.
Yes, it was a pleasure being here. I hope some of these tips help horse owners out there and make our horses' life's quality is a little bit better as well. Thank you so much for having me, Haley.
Of course, and thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management Podcast to a friend.